You ready to take notes? Okay. Let's pray and we can get into the study. Lord, we thank you so much for the wonderful day that you have given us. Thank you for the rain this morning and the sun this afternoon. We just ask now that as we come together that you lift us up, strengthen us, and that you be glorified in this study, Lord. And we thank you for everything that you do in the air conditioning and a place to worship tonight, Lord. We thank you for these most precious things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, my first Wednesday night service, I'm used to teaching Sunday school, so I don't know if this goes really any different. Hopefully not. So, all right. So, I titled this one, As a Warrior, How Do You Reply to the Storm? You know, you prepare for a battle, but rely wholly on God. And what kind of kicked this off was this meme that I saw on the internet. You know, the devil whispers to the warrior, you cannot withstand the storm. And the warrior replied, I am the storm. And obviously, this is underscores a little bit of our role in as warriors in God's army. This meme isn't accurate as far as a spiritual battle goes. You know, it relies too much on us and not at all on God. You know, if we're going to be warriors in God's army, we need to trust in His strength and His strategy, and then emphasize that true victory is found only in reliance on the Lord. So, you know, there are other variations of this meme, but, you know, warriors and battlefields and all that kind of stuff, but this one works best for the illustration tonight. And when I was in high school, that was about the time that motivational posters really came out. And I don't know if all of you remember all of those motivational posters, but they popped up everywhere in office buildings and schools and everything else. And, you know, as somebody that played sports in high school, something like this one in particular, you know, would have been a huge boost to morale, you know, especially to our egos. It's like, yes, I'm a warrior. I am in charge of my destiny, and, you know, we're going to go kick the other guy's, you know, rear ends. But the whole point of when going into battle, you know, you want to go in with confidence. You want to go in with enthusiasm. You want that no guts, no glory type attitude. Little did I know at that time, in a spiritual battle, you go in with that kind of attitude, and you're going to definitely have your rear end handed to you. So, so I'm hoping to spend the next, you know, half hour or so that I've got to help us understand our position as warriors for Christ. You know, trusting in God's strength, we recognize that our struggles and our challenges are part of a much larger spiritual battle. We have to face our fears, our weaknesses, and we have to face our daily struggles, and more boldly knowing that at the end of the day, the battle belongs to the Lord. You know, so how do we reply to the storm? Well, we're going to go through 5 points, and at the end of those 5 points, we'll come up with a answer to, you know, you cannot withstand the storm. All right, so the 5 points that I want to go over. So the first one is we're going to embrace our weakness. Then you have to equip yourself with spirituality. You're going to prepare for battle. You have to stand firm in the faith. And then the very last one is trust fully in God. You know, I have a few verses for each of these points, and obviously I could come up with lots and lots of them, but I stuck to just a few for time's sake. So, all right, so the first one, embrace weakness. Verses I picked out, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, Paul was given a thorn in his flesh, and 3 times he asked the Lord to take that thorn away, you know, but God didn't remove the thorn. He kept it there, you know, to keep Paul humble, or as Paul puts it, to keep him from being conceited. You know, we don't ask for God's grace to be sufficient. It already is. And if you're asking for that, then you don't understand the power of God. There is nothing that we can do to improve upon God's grace. You know, if it comes from God, it's always good, it's always sufficient, and it's always perfect. Each of us has our own talents, our own strengths, our own gifts, you know, all given to us. But in everyday life, you know, we use those with work and family, you know, in many cases to help build each other up. And, you know, many times we are commended for those abilities. You know, is God concerned about our strengths? And if he is, which ones? So I would say that he is concerned about our strengths because he's the one that gave them to us. You know, but when we are struggling with something, will being good with numbers in a spreadsheet help us with life struggles and a spiritual battle? You know, yes, I got all the numbers to reconcile in that spreadsheet. You know, take that, devil. You know, that's not how it works. So, you know, we are to hide the knowledge of God in our hearts to encourage us, to strengthen us. But again, what knowledge is that? And whose knowledge is that? Whose power is it? You know, how best then do we wield that power? Well, you turn it over to the Lord. You know, when we are able to see our own weakness and give it to God, he's glorified. You know, Christ's power is in full recognition when we are down on our knees looking to him for help. Like Paul, we pray to have our trials taken away. You know, we don't want these afflictions. Neither did Paul. But like Paul, God says, no, I'm going to have you keep those, you know, not to give us what we ask for, but to potentially give us what we need. You know, in Christ, I can endure all things. And as Christians, we're going to be continually put through trials and persecutions. We're going to have to suffer those insults and hardships. But I know that to do so, coming from that place of weakness, that with Christ walking with me, his power is on me, holding me together in all of those situations. He makes me strong, knowing that I'm doing this for him, to further his cause, you know, to share the gospel. You know, if I'm not weak, then personally, if I come from a place of I think I am strong, then I tend to not rely on Christ. But if I embrace my weakness and I'm completely dependent on him, it is only at this point I know who is all-powerful and who is going to make me truly strong. You know, as Chuck Swindoll put it, and I'm paraphrasing here, if Paul was healed on his first or second request, as miraculous and as wonderful as it would have been, it would point to a giftedness and devotion as the source of his adequacy. But because Paul had severe struggles and trials, the astounding success of his ministry can only be attributed to the grace of God. It is only from that place of weakness that God is able to shine in us. So equip yourself spiritually. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You know, if you're going to go into battle, you want to be prepared. And it doesn't matter if you're on the front lines or in a support position in the rear, you have to be ready to stand your ground. You know, as a warrior, as that warrior for Christ, know what's needed in your daily spiritual battles. You know, we talk about the armor of God, and spiritually speaking, no human weapons are capable of taking on a spiritual attack. You know, no crystals, incense, garlic, or communing with nature is going to help you fend off the devil. This is not being prepared, but rather losing the first battle. This is a battle of truth. You know, that's not to say that some of those things are not useful. You know, garlic can be very useful as a spice or keeping people away. Incense is going to keep me away, and crystals make great paperweights. So, but to equip yourself with truth. Again, everything from God, You know, everything he says, everything he does, everything that's been written down in our Bible is true. It's not partial, it's not exaggerated, but the whole unblemished, without error truth. Only God is to be believed 100%. You know, the Bible is our foremost survival guide. It tells us how we can clothe ourselves, feed ourselves, keeps us warm. You know, it provides protection and shelter, and when necessary, all the weapons we need for battle. But before we can see any of those attacks coming or know what to even look for in the attack, we have to understand the enemy and the tactics that are going to be used. You know, we have enemies on different fronts too. You know, we have the devil and his army. We also have the flesh, both of which try to keep us from being prepared. It is a constant stall game for them. You know, if those things that they throw at us can keep us a person distracted long enough, then we're not out there fighting for souls. You know, they corrupt our testimony and water down the gospel message that we try to share. You know, it's just like Pastor Doug Witzke was talking about when he was here a few weeks ago. You know, read your Bible. It is the perfect instruction manual for all things. You know, that survival guide when you're in the middle of a storm, it prepper's guide to store up and hide away all the necessary tools one needs or may need in the future. It's an instruction book for learning, for teaching, for relationships, for parenting, and it's the ultimate motivational poster, but in story form. You know, it's the perfect idiot's guide to God. You guys remember the idiot's guides to computers and, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know. But most importantly, the Bible is a love letter from God. It tells us that he cares for us more than we could possibly imagine. You know, God gives us the remedy for every possible situation we could ever find ourselves in. It's God, you know. So equipping yourself, in essence, getting to know Christ, his likes and dislikes for our lives, his expectations, and what to avoid, you know, why? Because he is the ultimate multi-purpose tool, the only one that you are ever going to need. And once you have him in your corner and continue to read his instruction book and use his armor that he provides you, the better prepared for and protected you're going to be. Now you have to prepare for battle. So Psalm 144:1, praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Again, read and study your Bible. Listen to sound teaching. If you continually do that, then you are equipped. By doing those things, we are always learning new ways to defend ourselves and adding to our stockpiles. But now we have to prepare. You know, this is not a battle that may never come. This is an ongoing war, and the attacks are going to be relentless. In our weakness, in our preparation, we acknowledge that we are not able to go into battle by ourselves. You know, God provides, he leads. We listen, and he's going to follow. He knows the specific battles that we're going to be fighting, and when we go to him and ask him for strength, he delivers exactly what we need. No more, no less. You may not know it, but if you are continuously equipping yourself, then he is preparing you that entire time. He provides the understanding, he provides the knowledge, and when he is ready, the solution. You know, God knows your struggles. He knows all of your struggles. I'm not even aware of all of my struggles at any one time. There's things that, you know, may be coming up that's down on the horizon that I'm have no idea it's coming for me. But he does. And he's, as long as I'm prepared and in him, he's going to help me through those. You know. At times it feels like it's difficult to prepare. And if you don't know what kind of battle you're going to fight, remember again, God knows. Stay diligent in equipping yourself with the necessary knowledge. The tools will be there for you, right by your side. And they will be ready to be wielded at a moment's notice. You know, most importantly, as you prepare for battle, make sure, and this is the most important thing, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You know, in the book of Acts, it talks about the seven sons of Sceva. You know, Sceva was a Jewish high priest, and it says, you know, his seven sons took it upon themselves to drive out evil spirits. They saw the success that Paul had in doing this, but the sons didn't realize two things. One, Paul had been granted the use of apostolic ministries or miracles, and two, the sons did not have a personal relationship with Jesus. You know, without that relationship, when they went to go drive a demon out of a man, you know, it replied to them, "I know Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you?" You know, it recognized the sons had zero authority whatsoever. You know, Jesus had no relationship with them. He was not in them at all. They had not even considered it. So he wasn't in their corner, and the demon looks at them and says, "Whatever, dude." So, you know, and it ended up beating them to a pulp. You know, without that relationship, you know, the problem they faced and all of those things, you know, sorry. The problem they faced and all of those who are not saved is that they have no power over the demon they confronted. They were not apostles, and more so, there was no relationship, so no protection from that demon of any kind. You know, only Jesus has authority over demons. Only Jesus has authority over sin and death, and without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we will never be prepared. And what is the best way to be prepared? Luke 10:20 says, "Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." So where are you? Are you in Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? Are you prepared? You know, God trains us and prepares us, but only if we are willing and if we are in Christ the Lord. Stand firm in the faith. So, 1 Corinthians 6:13, be alert, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. And 15:58, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And 1:27, just one thing, as citizens of heaven, live your life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or in absent, I will hear about you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, in one accord, contending together for the faith of the gospel. We need to remain alert. We need to stay strong. You have to be courageous. You know, these are all aspects of being a warrior. You know, we don't know when the attacks will come, other than the fact that they will come. You know, don't let this deter you from what you are doing, you know, the work that the Lord intends you to do. If we are to fight the battle, we can't waver on our commitment and faith. If we start to question God, then our defense crumbles and our attack is going to be meaningless. Be immovable. Make sure this outward picture of your life is worthy of the gospel of Christ. Remember that you may be the only Bible that some people ever read. You know, God requires us to be vigilant and resilient. This should be entirely the attitude of a warrior. You know, this doesn't mean that we're always going to be perfect when standing up for the Lord. Peter wasn't. I'm not. There are always trials that when we fail, we're going to fail hard. And it's the flesh acting, battling against us constantly. But a moment of weakness should only make us stronger, to recognize that we continually need God. And when we are weak, we need to recognize we need to go back to him. You know, many times those trials are a way to get our attention and bring us back to him. When I think about this part and not being perfect, you know, this illustration comes to mind. Do you know why they call things bear proof, or why they don't call things bear proof, but rather bear resistant? Why do they call things bear resistant and not bear proof? Right. Yeah. So far to date, engineers have not come up with a way to build a container that has been able to keep a bear out and yet still be usable by man. You know, garbage cans, dumpsters, coolers, you know, many of them start off great, but at some point they all fail. So one of the things that I saw was a dumpster made with half-inch steel and strong locks on it. You know, it was still being able to be used by man to throw away garbage, but after 2 weeks, it failed against those bears. Half-inch steel. So, you know, bears still got in. You know, if we're in Christ, we are sin-resistant. We still have the flesh, so we're not sin-proof. Not until Christ calls us home. But we need to stand firm, be on alert, stay strong. You know, sin is going to get in. But it becomes a question of, do you let it root around in you and cause more damage? Or do you go back to God and get right with him and attempt to build an even stronger defense? You know, I didn't necessarily want to relate a person's life with half-inch steel dumpsters, but, you know, there it is. And hopefully that dumpster's not on fire. That would be even worse. And as far as the engineers building, you know, structures, there is considerable overlap between the smartest bears and the dumbest tourists. So. All right. Trust in God fully. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight. As children of God, our knowledge and understanding should be coming from him. It's the only human wisdom that has ever come close to that of God's is when somebody said that you should trust in him fully. You know, and even that is from God. You know, this is where the other four points come together. We have to surrender ourselves fully. We have to have absolute commitment of our body, soul, and spirit to know that we are weak and we do have some strengths, but those are only given to us by the Lord. You know, they are not our own. And even our strengths we do have pale in comparison to his. You know, only in Christ is there found salvation, not in ourselves. And the direction of our lives should be found in him as we work for Jesus. Again, not for ourselves. Everything we do should be for Christ. To trust in him with all of our heart is to distrust ourselves. You know, we don't know what is best for our lives, but need to look to God for that direction and instruction. You know, we have to acknowledge the lordship of Christ. By acknowledging Jesus as our Lord and Savior, you know, our Creator, our everything, we need to humble ourselves before him to the point of absolute weakness and dependency. This is a good thing. When we are fully committed to God, only then can he build us up and use us for his glory. You know, this is when he helps to equip us, teaching us, providing that armor for the battles we're going to fight. As we learn and grow in Christ, we are privy to his understanding for our lives. You know, God's protection, his nourishment, that only in the Lord can we stand and fight. Without him, we will fall. So trusting fully in the Lord allows us to stand firm in that faith. If we rely on ourselves, again, we're going to fail absolutely every time. God wants us to be resilient. And again, the only way that happens is to trust in him fully. You know, in a spiritual battle, we don't want to compromise. You want to stand for that Lord and take direction only from him. You know, God's strength, his resolve, his power, they're in us if we are in him. He is glorified through our weaknesses, our preparation, and our stance in and for him. You know him and he will make your path straight. Prepare for battle. We will have trials and tribulations. You know, it's guaranteed that's going to happen. And while we are in the world, and God allows those trials, you know, God allows us those trials to bring us back to Him constantly as a everyday reminder we need Him. You know, if we know Christ and we walk with Him, then as we prepare for those upcoming battles or plow through the current ones that we're involved in, God's path will be revealed. Instead of wandering all over the place, Christ removes the obstacles. He smooths out those paths and provides peace in our lives. Whatever direction our lives take, whether it be easy or hard, God provides peace on that path if we are in Him. Like Paul, we should be content. You know, problems or praise, give all of your heart and trust to the Lord. Let Him build you up, strengthen you, prepare you for battle, and be the warrior for the faith that He wants you to be. So if we are to trust in God fully, how are we able to make this meme better? I have a couple of suggestions, and then I'd like to hear if you guys have any others. So, the devil whispers to the warrior, "You cannot withstand the storm." The warrior replied, "I am the storm." Obviously, that's not a good one. The devil whispers to the warrior, "You cannot withstand the storm." The warrior replied, "My Lord is the storm." Or, "My Lord has prepared me for the storm, for it is He who calms it." "I cannot, but my Savior can, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Or, just memorize Psalm 18, which the first four verses says, "I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock where I seek refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I was saved from my enemies." So what would your reply to the storm be? What's that?
"I have been made the storm."
I have been made the storm. Vince? Right. Yeah.
Headquarters is telling me, giving guidance. So, and I think they should work without the idea of prayer in this condition, those elements.
Yep.
In a similar fashion, I've talked to the teens before about this and shared that struggles and sins are not a boxing match between us and the devil. But it is a tag team match between us, the devil, and our sin. And we are losing vehemently. And it's only when we reach out to Christ, because He's reaching out on the outsides, trying to pull us. It's only until we tag out and let Him take the reins that we actually can conquer. If there's any part of us in it, any part of us in it, other than the fact that the Lord has called us to work and obey, then we have a wrong, we have a misguided view about it.
Yeah.
No warrior goes out unless he's been through rigorous training. For the believer, the rigorous training is not just reading the Bible, studying the Bible, being in prayer. That's what gets you ready.
Yep.
To fight the battle.
Constantly learning, constantly asking for knowledge and guidance and wisdom. Any others?
Psalm 91, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The storm around me, I'm protected." Okay.
Yeah. Vince?
Servant said, "You know,
Right. Yeah. Yeah, any battle, if we're in prayer and we study, you know, what he gives us, he's always right there beside us. Twinette? Any other thoughts? Okay. That's all I had. So, all right. Are you doing the prayer or do you want me to do it?